wouldn't it be great if we could all dance when we're 90? Anna Halperin, who began performing professionally in the late 1930s, debuted on Broadway in 1945, and since then, she has seen her dance career take a variety of courses. She founded the nation's first multiracial dance company. She's used dance to help heal herself and others, and most recently, she's been using dance to fight stereotypes about aging. And now she is the subject of a new documentary directed by Rudy Gerber called Breath Made Visible. It opens at Cinema Village today, and I'm very pleased to welcome Ms. Halperin and Mr. Gerber to our show today. Hi.
Hi.
And congratulations on the wonderful review you got in the Times today. Anna, does it feel odd after 7 decades of stage experience to become the star of a film?
Yes, it's more than odd. I feel, on one hand, extremely exposed and vain.
Well, literally in a couple of cases.
Definitely so. But also, I'm very happy for the film because I think that it informs people about the nature of dance and that dance can mean so many different things. It can be a social experience, a political experience, a healing experience. It can really be a life experience.
Well, and speaking to writers people who've made other kinds of art over a long period of time, they often talk about how surprised they are by some of the things they find from early in their career. And here we have footage from fairly early in your career, and you also had to think about all the things you've done over the years. Has this movie changed your perception of your career?
It has made something very clear to me, and that is that my real break came from the more traditional forms of dance when I was stricken with cancer, and my life was like enlightenment at gunpoint, so to speak, and I really felt required and challenged to reevaluate why I dance, how I dance, and who I dance for. And I think that was a big turning point, and I see it very clearly in the film.
And you say that at that point you stopped living to dance, but you dance to live.
Exactly. I said that at the beginning I lived my life for my art, and after I was stricken with cancer, I lived my art for my life.
Well, here you are. Are you 90 now?
I will be 90 next month.
And you don't look it. I don't know. I mean, I can't believe that that dance would keep everybody going until they're 90 and going as well as it has for you.
I've been lucky. It's just luck. And I imagine some DNA is involved here. My mother lived to be 100. My father lived to be 96. So I think there's a little DNA there.
Rudy, you met Anna during a period of her life when she wasn't performing publicly.
Yeah, she was. It was in the 80s, mid 80s, early 80s. And I went to her when I was an actor and learning from her. And at that time, she was more labeled as maybe a healer or people even looked at it as a therapeutic approach. Although me coming from the theater, I always saw Anna as a pure performance artist. And
you saw dance as a way to improve your acting?
Since she is really thinking out of the box and breaking all the boundaries, for me, I was working at classical stage theater. It was just very helpful because I was very interested in real-time issues and how you can combine real-time with theater, sort of where's fiction, where's reality, and Anna was the right person to deal with those issues.
Have you ever danced on her famous porch?
Oh, yeah. Many, many times.
You've said that Anna's work helped you in your career as a filmmaker. In what way?
Well, in two ways. One, she kind of made me more aware of my interest in reality and fiction, that sort of melange, that mix. And then when I made this film now, I realized how important your personal experience is and to really rely on that.
And I'm not sure whether dancing or teaching is ultimately the more important thing for you. How soon did you wind up teaching? in your career?
How soon did I want to teach?
Were you teaching from a fairly young age, or is it something that...
I started teaching when I was a little girl. I would gather everybody in the neighborhood and would invite them over to my backyard, and I would teach them everything that I had just learned in my dancing class. It's been, I would say, a very strong calling from a very early age.
You've been credited with creating the first multiracial dance company in the country. Is that possible? I mean, before, did Martha Graham do that?
No. living in San Francisco, I felt very connected to the Watts riots. And this was the most important thing on a political and social level that was going on in my awareness at that time. I mean, it was so shocking. It was totally shocking to all of a sudden realize that there has been this bomb ready to go off. I was totally unaware and realized that I was living in a sheltered, ridiculous world without any connection or impulse from other cultures. And so a man called me up. I didn't know who he was, but he called me up from Studio Watts, and he asked me if I would come and perform for them. And I said, no, I'm not going to come and perform with an all-white company. But what I will do is I'll be willing to come down to Studio Watts every week on Saturday and work with your company until I understand something about the black experience, and they are getting used to me as a white woman. And then I'll start another group in San Francisco, and we'll use the same identical scores. Then we'll bring the two groups together and find out if we can live through our differences and come to our human commonalities. And we did that, and in 10 days, we developed a score called Ceremony of Us, and it was so real and so socially important to make that kind of connection. I think it was one of the most touching dances that I've ever done, and 40 years later, we're still all in connection with each other because our human connection became so strong.
And I suspect other people then were inspired, because there's been a lot of talk about the influence you've had. In fact, the Times even saw influences on sets like for the play Rent, or the way that audiences interact with performers. They mentioned the Grateful Dead. I don't know if those are things that you'd ever thought of.
No, I hadn't thought of that. I just was focusing on how blacks and whites and other ethnic groups could learn from one another. And we formed the first multiracial dance company.
My guests are Anna Halperin, who is the subject of Rudy Gerber's film, Breath Made Visible, which opens at the Cinema Village today. One of the things about Anna that is made clear is that she was not your typical choreographer, that her work has been pretty much experimental from the start. In putting the film together, what kinds of responses did you find people had in the early days?
Well, I tried to make this movie for all the people who had no idea who Anna is, not for the insiders, but people outside who maybe are not dancers, who have no access to dance, because one of the important messages of this movie is everybody can dance at any time in your life, at any moment, in any circumstances. So the profound meaning of movement and the expression of movement is just such a basic thing for everybody's life. And I felt to try to make a movie where the sense of movement, which is also called the kinesthetic sense, kind of translated into an experience, and then people experience their own lives, and somehow this separation between audience and stage gets dissolved, and stage becomes audience and audience becomes stage, like Anna's inversion, life and art. You know, she says dance for life or to survive.
Do you have a definition of dance that is workable for you, Anna?
That's what the movie was named after. I said dance is breath made visible. When you stop breathing, your heart stops beating, you start non-living.
And so you've continued to dance. You did stop for a while, but you're still dancing now.
I never stopped. I stopped performing publicly, and I began to do what I called rituals. It was just a different way of thinking about performing.
Well, some of the things you did were seen as shocking at the time. You dance in the nude, although I'm not sure you're the first person to ever do that. There's a sequence in the film in which you're wrapped in some diaphanous cloth. I don't know how to describe it, but you're in the surf is there's an interplay between your body and the surf.
Yeah, that's well put. I was making myself very passive so that my movement would be determined by the tides. Yeah.
How did you see what you did? How did you use dance to heal yourself from cancer?
I drew some images of myself, and one of the images that was disturbing to me was an image I drew of a knife being thrust into the back of my body, and I danced this, and as I danced it, I felt this tremendous anger and frustration, and I released it through the movement of the dance. And when I released it, then I felt a new kind of flow of water and coming and cleansing me, and this seemed to have the effect of reversing the cancer.
You have footage here from throughout your career, but what do you think the dancer? First of all, what did you do on Broadway in the 40s?
Oh, it was a lovely Broadway show with Burl Ives, and it was an Americana show in which they traced the history of music and danced, and it was just a lot of fun.
What do you think that dancer, Anna Halperin, in her, I guess, 20s at that point.
Yeah, I was.
How do you think she would have viewed the things you did later? Would she have been surprised?
I think she would have been very surprised.
Because at that point you were
I was pretty much
a mainstream dancer.
Yeah, I was pretty much.
How did you break out of the mold?
Well, when I danced in Anta in the American Dance Festival, and I spent two weeks looking at modern dance and noticing that everybody in Martha Graham's company looked just like Martha Graham. They were all clones of whoever was the choreographer. And this was wrong. I just said, this is wrong. It's a hierarchy. It's autocratic. It's not democratic. There must be a different way. And I went back home to my isolation in the woods where I live and reconnected with what I thought was the source of movement in the body. I had done human dissection for a year to understand how the body works. And with the influence of my husband, the late Lawrence Halperin, I forged a new way of looking at dance.
Well, he was an architect.
He was
And architects think a lot about how things move or are in space. I won't say move in space. Was that something you discussed?
Oh, yeah. We collaborated for 70 years. We were married for 70 years. And we collaborated all throughout our lives together. I think some changes for him came when he went to the High Sierras every year and took the children and noticed that the way nature operates is the way he wants his creative process to operate. And living in nature, that was the biggest influence on my shift.
Just one more thing. Some of the dance you're describing really was more private than for an audience. Is there a difference when you're dancing for yourself and when you're dancing in a performance?
Not anymore, because now the art process is so strong in my responses that no matter what I do in terms of my life experience, I feel it comes out as a connection between life and art.
This is not the premiere of the film, is it, Rudy?
The film premiered last summer in the Locarno International Festival. And
I'm sure audiences have all responded quite well.
Extremely strong, very, very emotional. And people always say they get some tears somewhere.
Thank you both so much for being with us. Rudy Gerber, director of Breath Made Visible, and Anna Halpern, who is its subject. It opens today at the Cinema Village. It's been a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you.